Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Mankind Pharma Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Please note that this meeting is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Archit Gupta from Mankind Pharma Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yashashree. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our first quarter FY27 earnings conference call. On call today, we have Mr. Rajeev Juneja, our Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sheetal Arora, Chief Executive Officer and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Sudipta Roy, Senior President, Sales and Marketing, Mr. Ashutosh Dhawan, Global Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Prakash Agarwal, President, Strategy. We will commence today's call with opening remarks from Mr. Rajeev Juneja, who will provide an overview of the quarter, followed by key business updates from Mr. Sheetal Arora. Mr. Ashutosh Dhawan will then share the detailed financial performance for the quarter, following which we will open the floor for the Q&A session. Before we begin, please note that today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements based on management's current expectations. These statements are subject to various risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to differ materially, and Mankind does not undertake any obligation to update or revise these statements in the future. Please refer to the detailed disclaimer available in the investor presentation uploaded on our website. With that, I now hand over the call to Rajeev sir for his remarks.
Thank you, Archit, and a very good evening to all. Welcome to Quarter 1 27 earnings call. Our disciplined execution and strengthening business fundamentals resulted in improvements across key operating and financial metrics in Quarter 1 27, laying the foundation to deliver a sustainable growth. During the quarter, overall revenue increased to 4,031 crore, up 13% year-on-year, with an EBITDA of 1,060 crore rupees and EBITDA margin improving by 250 basis points year-on-year to 26.3%. Revenue from the domestic business, excluding consumer healthcare, increased by 11% year-on-year to 3,180 crore rupees. Quarter 1 27, led by double-digit growth in base business and a strong growth momentum in chronic and BSV specialty business. The secondary sales, as per IQVIA, grew 12.7% during the quarter, led by healthy volume growth of 4.7%, which increased by 220 basis points year-on-year. Growth was supported by continued strong momentum in chronic portfolio and outperformance in the gastro, vitamins, gynec segment, which led to growth recovery in acute business. In recent years, IPM has witnessed a significant shift towards chronic and specialized therapies, driven largely by the rising prevalence of chronic diseases and changing lifestyle. In line with this trend, we are strategically expanding our presence in chronic and specialty therapies while continuing to strengthen our own multi-specialty business. I'm delighted to share that our focused initiatives across key chronic therapies have translated into an increase of 80 basis points year-on-year in our chronic share, excluding BSV, to 40%, primarily driven by strong growth of 19.4% in cardiac, 12.7% in antidiabetic. We remain focused on increasing our chronic share to 50% in medium term. To further strengthen our presence in multi-specialty business, we have launched a new division, Dispart, which would help scale some of the lesser-focused brands in existing divisions. Moving ahead, our consumer healthcare business delivered a revenue of 246 crore rupees in Quarter 1 27, partly impacted by discounted cash-and-carry business. Despite softer growth, we gained market share in key brands, Manforce, Dragonimus, Yeah, so fast. Also, our modern trade and e-commerce share increased to 15% from 11% a year ago, supported by 38% growth in that channel. Innovation and specialization continue to remain central to our long-term strategy, and we are steadily building differentiating science-led pipeline that complement our existing portfolio. We've also partnered with Denovo Science to launch an AI-led drug discovery program, making an important step in strengthening our innovation-driven and technology-enabled R&D capabilities. We remain committed to deliver innovative science-backed products at affordable prices, ensuring across the country and driving sustainable long-term growth. I will now invite Sheetal to walk you through more details on our business performance.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Mankind Pharma's Quarter 1 Financial Year 27 earnings call. It is a pleasure to connect with all of you today. Financial year 2027 started with a healthy growth rate, carrying forward the momentum from last few quarters as we continue to witness sequential improvement across our businesses. Let me begin with our overall domestic business. In Quarter 1 Financial Year 27, revenue from our domestic business increased by 10.5% year-on-year to 3,426 crores. This growth was driven by a 15.8% increase in our chronic portfolio, growth recovery in the acute portfolio, and strong double-digit growth in BS. Let me share some key highlights for the quarter. Starting with our chronic business, an important long-term growth driver for us. In anti-diabetes, excluding tirzepatide, we outperform IPM by 1.1x. The Glyzade brand family continues to demonstrate strong momentum, delivering 29% year-on-year growth in Quarter 1 Financial Year 27. In cardiac, we outperform IPM by 1.1x, growing 19.4% year-on-year. Our Telmikind family grew approximately 21% year-on-year, while Lipirose and Statpure grew 30% and 31% respectively. Coming to acute therapy, our acute portfolio has steadily recovered and is now broadly in line with IPM growth, improving from 6.1% in Quarter 1 Financial Year 26 to 10.9% in Quarter 1 Financial Year 27. Our gastro portfolio outperformed the market by 1.2x of IPM, growing at 13.6% year-on-year with 1.8 times outperformance in pentamax. In gynecology, we delivered 12.7% year-on-year growth ahead of IPM growth of 12.1%, primarily led by continued strong double-digit growth in our IVF portfolio, up 39% in both Polygraph and Hemo, and 20% growth in Dydrogon, that is 1.5 times of market growth. We continue to see healthy momentum in VMN, growing 19.3% year-on-year. While anti-infective saw steady recovery from minus 1.1% in Quarter 4 Financial Year 26 to 3.6% year-on-year in Quarter 1 Financial Year 27. Our prescription leadership continues to remain one of the strongest indicators of the sustainability of our business. We continue to hold the number one position in prescription with 15.2% prescription share in Quarter 1 Financial Year 27. This leadership is underpinned by the trust we have earned from doctors over decades, driven by consistent quality, affordability, and disciplined field execution. Moving to our international business, revenue for the quarter grew 29% year-on-year to 605 crores. As we move forward, our strategic priorities remain clear: to drive scale with profitability, strengthen our presence in chronic and specialty therapy, expand our global footprint with differentiated portfolio, and accelerate innovation and execution. Equally important is our commitment in fostering talent and nurturing a culture of collaboration and excellence. We aim to build a future-ready healthcare organization that delivers sustainable long-term growth, while staying true to our purpose of making quality healthcare more accessible and affordable. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Ashutosh Ji, who will take you through the financial performance in greater detail. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sheetal Ji. A very good evening, everyone. It's good to have you all with us today. I will now take you through the Q1 financial year 27 financial update. Our revenue from operations during Q1 FY27 has increased by 12.9% year-on-year basis to ₹4,031 crores as compared to ₹3,570 crores in Q1 FY26. This was led by strong growth in BSV specialty business and 29% growth in the international business. Our gross margins for the quarter has increased by 230 basis points year-on-year basis to 72.8% from 70.5% in Q1 FY26 and 60 basis point increase on quarter-on-quarter basis. This year-on-year increase is primarily driven by three factors. Firstly, the impact of sales price increase, what we have taken. Secondly, a better sales mix as our chronic contribution has increased by 120 basis point on a year-on-year basis. And lastly, there has been a favorable base effect as Q1 last year, the gross margins were compressed due to certain inventory-related accruals taken for slow and non-moving items. Our reported EBITDA margin for the quarter has increased to 26.3% as compared to 23.8% in Q1 FY26. This increase of 250 basis point is primarily driven by two factors. 230 basis point increase is from the gross margin expansion, and the balance 20 basis point benefit has come from the operating leverage. The R&D expenses for the quarter was ₹98 crores, which is at 2.4% of sales and is higher than R&D spend of 2.2% of sales as incurred during Q1 FY26. This 2.4% is lower than our guidance of 2.8% to 3% for the full year FY27. The finance cost for Q1 FY27 has declined to ₹110 crores from ₹142 crores during Q4 FY26. This reduction was primarily driven by the impact of the payment of NCD tranche of ₹1250 crores in Q1 FY27. In Q1 FY27, the depreciation and amortization expenses was broadly in line at ₹226 crores as compared to ₹219 crores in Q1 FY26. The effective tax rate for Q1 FY27 was at 25.4% as compared to 17.7% in Q1 FY26. This increase in effective tax rate is due to adoption of new tax regime this financial year following the expiry of tax exemption period for our Sikkim plant. The profit after tax for Q1 FY27 grew by 29.1% year-on-year to ₹574 crores with PAT margin improving to 14.2% during the quarter as compared to 12.5% in Q1 FY26 resulting in an increase of 170 basis points. This growth was primarily driven by stronger EBITDA margins and lower financial cost, which has got offset by increased effective tax rate. Our diluted EPS is ₹13.7 per share of ₹1 paid for the quarter, for the current quarter. The cash EPS, which is EPS adjusted for non-cash items like depreciation and amortization, has increased during the quarter to ₹19.2 from ₹15.9 in Q1 FY26, which is an increase of 20.8% year-on-year basis. The net operating working capital days for the quarter on trailing 12-month basis has increased to 52 days as compared to 48 days in the corresponding period last year, which is mainly due to increased inventory levels. In Q1 FY27, our cash flow to EBITDA ratio has decreased to 77% as compared to 99% in Q1 FY26. This drop of 22% in cash flow to EBITDA ratio is a combination of higher effective tax rate, working capital, and base effect in Q1 FY26. Our CapEx spend during the quarter has increased to ₹198 crores in Q1 FY27 as compared to ₹127 crores in Q1 FY26. The CapEx, as a percentage of revenue, is 4.9% of the total revenue, which is lower than our guidance of 6%-7% of revenue for FY27. In line with our prudent financial strategy, we reduced our net debt to ₹3,377 crores as of 30th June 2026, resulting in the net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio of 0.9x in Q1 FY27, and we remain on track to repay the acquisition-related debt by FY28. With this, we conclude our financial update and welcome any questions which you may have. Over to you, Prakashji.
We are open for questions.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Kindly announce your company name and then proceed with your question. Allow us a moment, please. Mr. Pankaj Tibrewal, please announce your company name and proceed with your question.
Yeah, thank you. This is Pankaj Tibrewal from Ikigai Asset Manager. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, you are audible.
Okay. Just from an India business perspective, just wanted to get a sense that always we have talked about India business growing at 1.2-1.3 times the IPM growth. Last year was obviously not a great year, and this year also the start has not been as great because the IPM itself, the market has been very, very strong. How do you foresee the remaining nine months for this year from an India growth perspective? And then I'll come to my second question on BSV. Thank you.
Pankaj, if you are asking about the Indian growth perspective, I will tell you that we have already returned to double-digit growth, and more importantly, the quality of growth has improved. If you see our chronic portfolio, which is growing by 15.8%, acute has also recovered to around 10.9%, and BSV is showing strong growth in the first quarter of this year. Even the volume growth has improved to 4.7%, which was 2.3% in last financial year 26. If looking at, to answer your question of nine months looking ahead, we are confident of progressively outperforming IPM because our growth is being driven by structural levers, not short-term factors. The building blocks are in place. We are increasing our chronic mix,
where we are currently at about 40% and see the potential to move towards 50% over the next 4 to 5 years. Second is, we are scaling our hospital business where our market share is still significantly below our peers, giving us a long runway for growth. Third, we are launching a new focus division with non-focus brands in existing divisions. And fourth, improving performance in under-penetrated states where our market ranking is below our national standing, creating a meaningful opportunity to gain share. So these are the long-term growth drivers that should enable us to consistently gain market share and progressively outperform us.
I hope so. In terms of, can we hear from here on expect Mankind to consistently outperform IPM with the field force change, everything we have done and all the long-term drivers we are talking about? Is it a fair expectation?
Yeah, we will definitely grow double-digit. The measures we are taking, increasing our hospital penetration, the non-focus brand will be promoted in new division. So definitely double-digit growth will come in a time to come.
Okay. The second question is on BSV. I remember last year when we started, we spoke about 18-20% growth on BSV, whereas actual growth was about 5-6% and largely coming from export and domestic saw a decline. When you look at this year now, obviously first quarter has started on a decent note. How do we see BSV growth spanning out for this year?
So let me correct you, Pankaj. So last year BSV growth was around the early teens, well spread across domestic and international. This quarter the growth is around 21%. Mm-hmm. We have given guidance of high double digit growth, which is high teens.
And if we break that into domestic and export, how should we think about?
Yeah, so BSV domestic is around 17%. Mm-hmm. And international is around 25%.
Okay. That helps us. Thank you and wish you guys all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next is Rashmi Shetty. Rashmi, kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm from Dolat Capital. One question on this net working capital, you mentioned that, the inventory has been increased and currently the working capital is around 52 days. At the end of the year also it will remain elevated, it is expected to decline.
So we expect it to come down by the year end, because of some price advantages, etc. So the inventory levels are, I would say, slightly above the normal trends what we used to maintain. So we can expect rationalization in the inventory levels in the coming quarters.
Okay. And this inventory level, which was high, was it because of high raw material prices? Anything which you all have witnessed during the quarter?
So since we were sitting on a comfortable inventory level, so therefore if you would have observed, the gross margins are pretty healthy and so they are at 72.8. So the price increase in impact has not flown into the financial because of the good inventory level. However, the next quarter or so, we may see a compression in the gross margins level, because the prices of the commodities and the dollar, etc. has increased. Having said that, we would like to maintain the same guidance what we gave, the gross margins to be upward of 71% and the EBITDA guidance to be 25.5% to 26.5%. So,
okay, which is taking into account even the impact coming from the high raw material prices.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and other inflationary cost.
Yeah.
Okay, and on the consumer healthcare business, I'm seeing that you all have given a very low growth of around 3.8% and you all have discontinued some cash and carry business. So if you can explain that in detail, what exactly you all have done and how should we look at this piece of business?
See, Mankind, wherever we basically do any kind of a business, it should have a very strong foundation. So wherever we found that something has to be done, we have done it, done that. I mean, cash and carry business was basically impacting the general trade. So we just stopped sales over there. But as a whole, market has been a bit softer. But on the second side, as far as the market share is concerned, Manforce condom share has been increased, Pragati share has been increased, Gasopass share has been increased. So we see going forward with high teen to double digit growth in second quarter onwards. High single digit to double digit in second quarter onwards.
Okay, that is in the remaining 9 months you are expecting. Okay. And what about the debt levels? You know, we are expecting a complete repayment by FY28.
Yeah.
Acquisition related debt.
Okay. That is something, you know, that was the doubt. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from Kunal Damesha. Kunal, kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question, please.
Hi, this is Kunal here from Macquarie. First question for Ashutosh sir. On the cash EPS number that you are sharing of around 19 rupees for the quarter, that excludes the entire depreciation and amortization or just the acquisition related amortization for BSU?
Oh, this is after all these adjustments. This is the reported EPS. After adjustments of all the tax and depreciation amortization.
So the full depreciation amortization has been taken out?
Yeah.
But so that's not the normal practice the way large pharma does, right? They just remove the acquisition related amortization to arrive at cash EPS.
So for the cash EPS, yeah, cash EPS is after depreciation amortization and the impairment expenses. The cash EPS is the cash portion.
Right, but if I just remove the acquisition-related amortization, let's say BSV-related amortization, then what would be the cash EPS for the quarter and keep the Mankind-related depreciation and amortization still in the numbers?
Only the total depreciation is in the range of 225 CR, and out of that, you can broadly 50% towards allocated towards the acquisition-related depreciation. Okay. So we can do the calculation and share with you the numbers subsequently.
Sure. Or we can take this offline.
Yeah, because large pharma company only takes the acquisition related amortization out when they calculate cash EPS. So, yeah. Second question on, you know, let's say with the launch of the GLP-1 molecules, and then we are kind of excluding tirzepatide when we kind of say that we are outperforming, you know, the anti-diabetic. So just from the covered market perspective, how would have we moved, let's say, from the three-year perspective, let's say maybe FY22, what was the proportion of IPM we were was under our covered market versus what it would be now? Has there been a meaningful change there, which is what is leading, to this gap between the IPM growth versus our growth, what's the strategy to kind of, you know, come back to that covered market proportion that we earlier had?
So Kunal, if you see the molecules that we've been launching over the last 3 years, if you see glyzade, if you see the newer molecules on DPP-4, SGLT2, we are among the top 8, top 9 players. Historically, we were always in the older molecules. In the diabetes space, we have also launched insulin. So there's a lot of new initiative in terms of launches and being the top 7, top 8 players. Historically, we were not very big in anti-diabetes. And if you see, we have been outperforming anti-diabetes as a segment of 1.2 to 1.3 times. Having said that, post GLP, etc., since we are very cautious of, in terms of, you know, very strategic in terms of launching GLP. Excluding that, we are still outperforming. But now GLP, since it's generic, we have taken that into base. We are just saying excluding tirzepatide. So ex-GLP, we would have done better. So 1.2-1.3x, we hope that we'll come back to that overall covered market that we were doing.
And covered market, except for tirzepatide, you don't think that there is meaningful change for us?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And lastly, for Rajeev sir, what's driving the cautiousness around launching the GLP-1? We have always been aggressive in terms of new product launches, right? So why the conservatism here? Let's say especially if you're doing well in some of the newer therapies of oral antidiabetic like SGLT2 and DPP-4, why are we holding back?
Yeah, we have an advantage of launching some product in the first phase, in the sense that if our three, four companies are launching, and we are one of those, we surely go all out. But somehow, when we saw that so many companies are launching, right now, if you see, I mean, more than 20 companies, 35 plus kind of brands are there, everything is there, vial, injectable, single. So our thought was, let this storm pass, let's wait some ways and see what basically happens. And along with this, not only launching this as a one molecule, launch it as a therapy. I mean, we have so that kind of approach we have taken. It's not a cautious approach. It's a strategic approach, actually. Why to even put your resources in something which tomorrow is very, very competitive? That was the thought. And we are honestly, to some sense, we are quite right in that. So we are now working on, we have launched two brands from two divisions. One is Diary, and one is this diabetes division. Along with protein, along with other supplements, so that we can basically focus on the complete therapy instead of only this GLP.
Okay. I don't get it because I still believe hypertension would be more competitive than GLP-1, right? But we are there in hypertensive therapy. So why the cautious approach? Since we have always been aggressive and we have done well historically.
See, it's not a cautious approach. It's a strategic approach. And maybe let the time pass. Let a few quarters pass. We'll see that.
And just to give a data point to you, so 5 years back, fiscal 2021, our covered market was only 56%, and we were ranked 10 in antidiabetes segment. If I see fiscal 2026, our covered market has increased to 74% of the market, and we are ranked 7 overall, and with a market share of 4.5%. So there's a big change in the covered market, and our ranks have also improved by three positions.
And then this increase in covered market, shouldn't it have accelerated our growth vis-à-vis market?
Yeah, that's what we said.
So if you have these products and you are among the top seven profit players, so you would have seen an accelerated growth with these SGLT2 and DPP-4s as launches.
This is for antidiabetic you are talking about, not for the Mankind.
Yeah, antidiabetic.
Okay. Yeah. So I understood that.
In antidiabetes, the increase from 56% to 74%. As you know, we launched insulin, DPP-4, and SGLT.
Okay. My question was more from an overall market perspective, like overall Mankind's overall domestic formulation business perspective as to have we seen a different swing in terms of the covered market, which could also be one of the drivers for us to be kind of missing on the IPM growth?
No. So in terms of covered market, from the IPM perspective, we have added, for example, respiratory inhalation product, which was not there. If you see in the antidiabetes, as I just mentioned, insulins, which was not there. Respiratory inhalers, which was not there, we have added that. Cardio, a lot of cholesterol-lowering, lipid-lowering profile products we have launched. So there's a lot of increase in covered market. It is also with the focus of some of the in-licensing products. For example, recently, we had a CNS Revotril from Roche. So there's a lot of initiative in adding chronic as well as specialty products to increase our covered market.
If you are referring to new launches, so new launches have been softer as compared to IPM. If you look at Q1, the new introduction NI contribution is 2.8% as compared to IPM 4.1%. So if you are referring to the slower growth rate,
yeah.
So this is one of the contributor to that.
Okay. Okay. And IPM would include all the GLP-1s for the NI, do you think? Because yeah, that's happened in last one. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Neha Manpuria. Neha, kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. This is Neha from Bank of America. First, just an extension on the new product question. I think we had mentioned last year that because of the change in the MR, etc., we weren't launching as many new products, which was one of the reasons for the lag. So now that things are normalized, should we expect a higher launch momentum, excluding SEMA, of course, but a higher launch momentum and therefore that growth to narrow meaningfully going forward? Or do you think that takes time to play out?
So can I take this, miss?
Yeah, so if you see today, our launches are very strategic. I think what Rajiv sir has told, we specifically launch limited products and individual products try to make it big. So if you see in recent launches, our Vonoprazan has become number one, which is our Vonalong. Even in case of anti-diabetics like empagliflozin, if you see today, it is within the top three brands of new launches. So wherever we are launching new brands, we are making it big. But yes, we are being selective in new launches, and that has been a very strategic move for us.
Understood. And my second question is on the gross margin. Ashutosh sir, you mentioned gross margin guidance of 71%+, I think, for the full year. Given where we are in the quarter, I understand there's some cost pressure from West Asia that we might see. But is any reason for the conservatism besides the West Asia impact that we might see, particularly given the higher chronic mix that we are seeing versus last year?
Sorry, can you please repeat the question? I lost your last few words on that. Are you referring to the conservativeness on the gross margins part?
Yes, sir. Other than the West Asia crisis, any other reason for us to be conservative, given that our India growth is picking up, even within that, our chronic share is picking up. So it seems like the revenue mix is in our favor. So as against the 72.5%, why the 71% guidance?
Yeah, so that's the only caveat we are putting because of the West Asia crisis. So we are taking a conservative approach.
All right. Okay. So the only reason is West Asia. There's nothing else in that.
So Neha, the overall EBITDA guidance has not changed. So that's a reliable guidance of 25.5 to 26.5.
All right, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Dino Pathiparampil. Kindly announce your company name and go ahead with your question, please.
Hi, good evening. This is Dino from Elara. Just one quick follow-up question. Recently, you had acquired this brand Rivotril from Roche. How big is that and what is the potential there?
So Rivotril, if you see the IQ numbers, it is in the region of 20 to 30 crores. And we expect that, it will give a lot of, entry to a lot of specialists because it's a textbook brand in terms of the molecule. So we expect that the growth will start, but, the entry to process is important so that we are following on the process and making progress in terms of with the specialist office.
Okay. Do you think it can potentially grow up to be a 100, 200 crore brand? Is that the thought process behind your acquisition?
So aspiration is always there, but it will take time. I mean, these things, CNS is a category, takes time as it's a very specialist portfolio.
But aspiration is to make a gold portfolio on the CNS side as well.
Got it. Thank you. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. Next question is from... Give me a moment. Next question is from Ritika. Ritika, kindly announce your company name and go ahead with your question, please. Ritika, your line is... Can you please unmute your line? You're on mute. Ritika Agarwal, kindly unmute your audio and go ahead with your question, please. There is no response. Our next, yes, it is from Siddharth Nigandhi. Siddharth, please announce your company name and proceed with your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question, and glad to see green shoots of recovery. You know, there were certain actions that you mentioned last time that you were taking in terms of reorganization, in terms of focus. Could you give us some metrics around attrition and around you know, share gains or sort of, you know, outperforming certain therapies, sub-therapies that you've seen from that reorganization to help us better understand that, yes, these are green shoots of recovery? That's question one. Second question is, while I understand that the cash and carry business was a dent on general trade and that channel conflict is obvious, But if one were to stop the cash and carry business and there is a brand pull, one would see higher general trade sales, right? Why is it that you did not see that come back to higher general trade sales? And you know, instead had lower growth. Yeah, those were my two questions.
I'll take the first one in terms of what are the green shoots. So first I'll take the acute business. So if I just talk about gastro, from a minus 2.5% in Q2, we have seen sequential recovery to 6.9 in Q3, 9.2 in Q4, and now 13.6%. Vitamin, if I see 5% moving to 8% in Q3, Q4 was 12.5 and now 19.3. Similarly, we have seen gynec moving from 6.9 to now 12.7% in Q1. Ophthalmology, 6.2% in Q2 was moved to 14.9, 18.5, and now 17.5 in Q1. So across acute therapies, if you see, we have seen improvement. Our growth in acute therapy had gone down to 3.3% in Q2. We are now at par with the industry at 10.9%. So 60% of the portfolio still is acute for us. So now we are at par, and that's why you've seen a double-digit growth for us. Coming to chronic, cardiac has seen improvement from 14.5% in Q2 to now 19.4% in Q1. Similarly, you've seen anti-diabetes 11.4 moving all the way to 12.7. Respiratory, if you see, very strong growth continues in the chronic respiratory side, 20% plus across the last 4 quarters. And chronic has moved up from 12.2% in Q2 of last year to now 15.8%. This overall has resulted in a 6.3% overall growth in Q2 to now 12.7% growth in Q1 of fiscal 27. So green shoots both in acute and chronic we are able to see. And as Sheetalji mentioned, that every quarter we are trying to improve.
Got it. And any metric on the attrition side, whether that has improved, how are you seeing that play out after the reorg?
So, you know, in the last 1.5 years, we had seen a lot of shuffling in terms of realignment, improving process, improving, you know, traction in terms of doctor visits, etc. So, attrition and vacancies are now in control. It has dropped significantly. It has come back to the normal levels. And you can see the results of sequential improvement. Because if attrition is higher, then you can't see the improvement.
Got it. And some color on the consumer products business that I spoke about.
So, consumer business, you are supposed to really understand that this market is very dynamic. So general trade slowly and gradually is being e-commerce and modern trade is taking a share of general trade. So we cannot really even segregate that general trade is separate and e-commerce is separate. The same consumer buys the same things. So while we basically took corrective action in cash and carry, on the second side, our modern trade and consumer have really grown a lot. Earlier the share was, last year the share was 11%, now the share is 15%, supported by a growth of 38%. So on one side the growth is there, on the second side we control certain things, and that's the reason. Overall, I say the market has been a bit softer in consumer side. That's the reason for that. But again, the positive side basically is that Manforce share in condom category, Prada News share in pregnancy test, yes, so far in Antacid have improved.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ritika Agarwal. Ritika, kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. This is Ritika from ValueQuest. My question is an extension to earlier participants' question on semaglutide. So earlier we were commenting that we'll be in the first wave of launch and we've also tied up. And even at that time, the understanding was there will be 20 to 30 players launching the drug. So what changed or maybe thought process or maybe what went wrong that we couldn't launch this drug?
So you, I mean, we never said that we were the first few companies to launch this product. We could not launch in the first phase. And that's one reason we took a strategic call. And in those, when this planning was happening, we were basically having a different, our focus was basically on correcting the overall company actually. The adhesion was right, I mean, force adhesion was done. We corrected, I mean, things in the company. So we thought, once we correct these things, then we launch the product. So at different times, we played different strategies, and that's the reason we started launching semaglutide a bit late.
And just like to add, because of huge competition, price drop was very significant, and since we are, you know, taking it from a partner, it doesn't make sense to do a price war. Rather, we have gone strategic. We are, you know, promoting through top-level KOLs, and as Rajeevji highlighted earlier, that we are looking more from a therapy approach. So if we just play with the price war, this will not be a profitable launch. And just an additional information, as you mentioned, we have already launched this product into two segments. One is anti-diabetes and the second one is gynec. But we expect that it will be a, you know, gradual takeoff for us since it's a very hyper-competitive and there's a lot of price war happening at the moment.
Sure. And anything on the export side, are we looking to launch this product?
No, we don't have an export strategy for this.
Okay, sure. That's it from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Rashmi Shetty. Rashmi, please proceed with the question.
Yeah, I'm audible, right?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So on the export business also, we have a very strong growth this quarter. So what is driving this growth? And, you know, one reason you mentioned that the BSV has also grown strong. But ex-BSV also, it is looking pretty strong. So, you know, whether US is contributing significantly or any one-off opportunities, you know, have you benefited during the quarter?
So as I mentioned, BSV dropping by 25%, and also US has done well. We had a couple of launches, and if you see, the currency has also held to the extent of 12-13%. So put together, it is it is in line with our guidance of high teens in the constant currency.
So high teens, which you are talking about for both the businesses together, right? Mankind plus BSV.
That is correct.
Okay. And earlier we used to talk related to one ophthal product, you know, which used to contribute higher compared to the other products in the US. That was more of a one-off. Had it seen any competition, and is it sitting in the base, or it is still?
So last year only it came into base. It was last to last year in FY25 that was in base. So that was the bulge was in FY25. And that normalized in FY26.
Yeah. Okay, got it. And one question to Prakash related to BSV. For this quarter and for FY26, out of the total BSV, the proportion of domestic business, especially for FY26, I want to understand, the proportion of domestic business to export ratio is high or it is lower?
So, the ratio of domestic to international is in the, for last year, you are asking?
Yeah, for FY26.
Yeah, it's around 50-50 last year.
50-50. And this year also?
49-51.
Okay, and this year also it is expected to be in that range?
Similar range, plus minus 2%.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. For any questions, participants may please use the raise hand option available on their screen. To ask a question, please use the raise hand option available on your screen. We have a question from Gaurav Bhama. Kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good morning. Gaurav Bhama, this side from JM Financial. Am I audible?
Please go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to double check what was the guidance given for consumer healthcare 2Q onwards.
So we have said the high single digit to double digit.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Shirish Savarma. Kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question. Shirish?
I'm audible. Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Shirish. I'm from Bernstein. I have two questions. Firstly, can you, if I may not have understood properly, can you explain what has been the recent scenario of BSV and how is, like, what exactly are we doing to integrate it properly? And secondly, on the IPM guidance of domestic, you guys guided of around early teens. So do you expect the IPM to also grow at that rate, or will you be growing above IPM?
Let me take your second question first. So as per our guidance in the last call, we said that we expect sequential recovery and expect full year to be double digit growth. Expect chronic to be better and also expect recovery in the acute business, which we were able to demonstrate in Q1 also. Coming to BSV, in terms of business wise, if you see, we've always maintained that it would be run as an independent operationally, both in the domestic and international. We have tweaked in terms of a little bit on the management side, wherever required. We have added in terms of a biotech facility. We have enhanced the R&D biotech facility. So those are the small changes which we have done for Mankind, but BSC has run independently by professionals. There is a lot of initiative that has been taken both in domestic and international business. We highlighted that there is a lot of demand creation that is happening for large brands, since these are specialist brands like Anti-D, Polygraph, others. Gynec coverage has increased from 33,000 in fiscal 25 to now 37,000. There is a lot of IVF related programs that has been activated. We have more than 80% coverage in the IVF category, which is seeing a very strong growth of 35% plus. And also there's a lot of clinical work going on in terms of its key products, in terms of clinical trials, of expanding market reach for Polygraph, which is FSH, NTID, which is reserve studies, and also some of the anti-allergy products, histoglobe rush studies. So there's a lot of scientific work going on in terms of expanding the domestic business. In international business, we are seeing increasing penetration in the existing markets. Plus, we are seeing some of the new approvals in large markets like Russia, FSH. We recently got approval. We also expecting FSH approval in a couple of new markets. And there's a lot of initiative going on in terms of newer products in the existing markets. That's why we've given a guidance of high teen growth.
Got it. That's very helpful. Just one double click on my previous question. About the acute, so chronic I understand, but in the acute segment, can you like specify why did we not do that well as we used to, and how are we like going to change things in the upcoming years or quarters?
So we have mentioned a number of times about this, that our 60% business comes from the acute side. In acute, relationship and face value really matters. And maybe 18 months back, we did deep correction, removed approximately a good number of people, we removed, and changed in new people. Therefore, the recovery is there. And whenever, there is a kind of a belief that recovery should be on a strong foundation, recovery happens gradually. Anything happens all of a sudden very fast, we don't believe in that. So you can see quarter by quarter, things are really improving, and we are quite happy with our performance. We don't expect, Mankind always believe that prescription is sales, that's all. Our policies are like this, that last week sales should not be there. I mean, first week sales should be very good. So we believe in all those processes. So, and whatever we basically have said that, we never said in last couple of quarters that we'll be beating the IPM. We said that we'll have this kind of a growth. Our forecast even this year is that double-digit growth would be there. We'll be having this EBITDA of 25.5% or 26.6%. And aspiration is to come back to where we were a few years back. For a good number of years, we basically has beaten IPM to 1.7x. A good number of years, 1.3 to 1.4 times. So once you have this kind of a track record, you want to come back to that side. It takes time. We are not in a hurry, but we feel that as every quarter would pass, things will improve. And things are on track. Look at from the volume-wise, new product-wise, as you will.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. For any further queries or clarifications, please reach out to us on investor.relations@mankindpharma.com. Have a nice day.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of Mankind Pharma, that concludes this meeting. Thank you for joining us, and you may now exit the meeting.